Very good to be with you here in Willowfield tonight for the confirmation of 28 people. 28 people from here in Willowfield, from St. Mark's Uitenards, and from Killeany and Carriduff. And thank you all for coming to support them, encourage them, pray for them, and witness what's happening on this really very important evening. Could I ask you please to stand? We're going to do the Easter greeting. It'll come up on the screen, and we'll do it three times. Now, because this is a proclamation of the resurrection, we're going to do it three times, getting twice as loud each time. And the third time, I want you to really lift the roof off. Are you ready? Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Twice as loud. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Lifting the roof off. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Now you can sit down again. I think the best way to describe confirmation, because sometimes people wonder what exactly confirmation is. I think the best way to describe it is like a coin with two sides. And the first side of the coin is that 28 people of all different ages, because confirmation is not something you do at a particular age, it's something you do as an adult declaration of faith and as a taking upon yourselves, if you were baptized as an infant, of the promises of your baptism, but it's something you do when you believe it. And so 28 people will stand up, and together at times, but at one stage also individually, by answering a question, they will affirm that they are going to confirm or strengthen their faith in Jesus Christ by speaking out the fact that Jesus is their Lord for all the days of their lives. That's a really important thing to do. In the Bible, it tells us that if we believe in Jesus in our hearts and if we confess him with our lips, we will be saved. So it's really important to confess Jesus with our lips. And that's what you will be doing tonight. But you know, and many of us who have been on the road for a long time are aware of this, if that was all we were to do, it wouldn't be enough. Because there's not one of us who in our own strength can follow God and do God's will perfectly. We need the strength, the presence, the power, the reality of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so after they have done that, we will be praying for them and I will be laying hands on them. It goes like that on each one of them individually as a prayer that the Holy Spirit would come down in power on each of their lives. That's really important, that we know that God not only asks us to follow him, but gives us the strength to be able to follow him all the days of our lives. And so I'm going to read the names, just as you're seated, of those who will be confirmed tonight. And you might notice a name that you particularly know and just send up a little arrow prayer for that person at that time. So just quietly, we read these names. From Willowfield, Molly, Meg, William, Paulina, Victoria, Katie, Alicia, Glynis, Liz, Sonia, Peter, Karen, and Cheryl. From Killeany and Carriduff, Rachel, Lucy, Emily, James, Marcus, Sophie, Zara, Evan, and Mia. For Newton Ards, Patrick Davis, Patrick Grimshaw, Shan, Paul, Kathy, and Sam. And very simply, in the quietness of this moment, we ask you, Heavenly Father, that they may receive everything you have for them tonight. In the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
My name's James, and I'm the vicar here in Willowfield. You're welcome into this place tonight, and I echo the encouragement of the bishop as we come forward to receive these people in confirmation. But an important element of our journey of faith is that we recognize that we're not able to do it on our own, that we need God's help. And in recognition of that, we recognize that we come before an awesome, holy, and a perfect God with all of our weaknesses and our frailty. And we come before him tonight to confess before him the things that we know we've done wrong, and the things maybe that we have done but we haven't yet recognized, seeking that he would shine a light on those things, that he might give us his grace and his forgiveness. So we cast our eyes to the screens as we come to our confession. Let us affirm our trust in God's mercy and confess that we need forgiveness. Lord God, you created the world and made us in your own image. Forgive us when we turn away from you. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord God, through your Son, you overcame evil and death. Rescue us from slavery to sin. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord God, by your Spirit, you restore us to fellowship with you and with one another. Breathe your love and freedom into our lives. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, have mercy on each one of you, forgive you your sins, and keep you in eternal life. Amen. We remain standing just to let those words sink in. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And in the special prayer for this service, what we pray for very specially is that those who have been born again and made the children of God by adoption and grace would also become mature by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life. Let's just bow our heads as we stand. Heavenly Father, by water and the Holy Spirit, you give your faithful people new life. Guide and strengthen us by that same Spirit, that we who are born again may serve you in faith and love and grow into the full stature of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
Good evening, everyone. Our first reading is taken from Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I have promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you'll be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
The second reading is from John 14, verses 1 to 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, we thank you for your word and for your servant. And Father, we pray for those moments we've whispered into his thoughts and into his preparation, your very words for us this evening. By your Spirit, give him the authority to speak them into our hearts for this moment and for this season and for this time. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it really is wonderful to see so many people here tonight at this confirmation service on a fabulous evening. I was in church this morning in the Jethro Centre in Lurgan, and I wasn't actually doing anything, but it was a very important occasion because Liz and I had a new grandson just over 2 weeks ago, and he was in church for the first time this morning, and he slept through the whole sermon. So he's learning quickly. The name of a child is always quite a challenge and quite an issue because names sometimes sum something up even if we didn't intend them to. I was sharing at the General Synod that before we had our four children Liz had three miscarriages, and all of them we had names for. And we have never used those names for any of our four children who are around now. Those names became very important to us. And my grandson was given a name that I hadn't expected, really. He's called Tommy. Well, he's not really called Tommy. He's called Thomas. And Thomas is the one in this reading who asks the question that brings from Jesus one of those sayings that all of us know, and one of the questions that you will be asked in the confirmation service this evening. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." And I will be asking each of you, are you going to follow Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life? Based on those words that came from the question which Thomas asked. St. Thomas a Kempis, who was a later Christian saint, said something about those words which became a kind of a theme song for a song that was around in the 1970s, so most of you will never have heard it before. But these are the words that Thomas a Kempis said. "Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's what Jesus said. Both our readings this evening are about journeys. The journey that Jesus is talking about that Thomas can't understand because they haven't seen what was going to happen on Ascension Thursday, which was celebrated last Thursday. The words that Jesus is saying about the journey he's going to go on confuse Thomas. He's not sure what's going to happen, and they have to ask questions about it. But Jesus is going to go on a journey to the Heavenly Father, to sit at the right hand of God in glory. And the story then from Joshua chapter 1 is also part of a journey. And every single one of us is at some point in our journey tonight. And I want to put those two things together, the text, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and the journey that Joshua was involved in, and bring it home in terms of the journey we are going on in our own lives tonight, and especially those who are being confirmed. But for some of you, it may be the beginning of a new journey. And like I usually do at confirmations, I want you to join in a bit. Right. Now, get your two hands out and put them like that. Right? Everybody, please. Right, everybody can do that. It's not difficult. I'm looking around. Good. Right. And then I'm going to say it, and you're going to say it after me. "I am the way." Say it. "I am the way." Say it again. "I am the way." Say it again. "I am the way." Joshua is the younger man who takes over from Moses, who has now died. And Moses has had the amazing privilege to see the people of Israel come out of slavery in Egypt and going through the Red Sea when the sea was divided, and God brought them through in safety from slavery into freedom. And at the Passover, that is the big celebration which the Jewish people have. They look back to that as the biggest event that ever happened to their people. But you know, when Moses brought the people of God out of slavery and into freedom. You would think that the people of God, having seen God at work in that way, would have wanted to go on walking in the way which God had for them. But they didn't. What they did instead was they went round and round and round and round in circles in the wilderness. And I want to invite you to ask the question in your life and me to ask the question in my life. How much do we prefer to go round and round and round and round and round and round and round in the known? In the safe things, rather than entering into the fullness of what God has for us and the way that he has prepared for us to go in. And of course, it became very clear at the time when the spies were sent into the promised land, which is where they were meant to end up. And the spies go into the promised land. And when they come back, two of them, Caleb and this man Joshua, say to the people of Israel, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's go in and possess it. And the others begin to say, oh, but you know, the people are very big. They're giants. The problems are too great. The challenges are too enormous for us to enter in and to receive what God has for our lives. And I am just imagining, and my mind is kind of getting bigger and bigger and bigger as I imagine it, what it would be like. I don't know how many hundred people are in this church. If every single person in this church were determined in their lives to walk in the way which God has set for them. Not to go to the right and not to go to the left, but to walk in the way which God has for them with the absolute, utter, complete, 100% conviction that even when the ways are difficult, and between the time Jesus says this and the time he ascends into heaven, he has gone through all sorts of difficult times and trials. But they were right. They were the way which God had prepared for him to go in. And if we were to say tonight, not just the 28 being confirmed, but the hundreds here, Lord, you are going to be the way for my life. And I'm going to walk in that way. I'm going to walk in that way, whether it's easy or whether it's difficult. And I'm going to walk in that way because that is the way of blessing. That is the way in which you will bless me. That is the way in which you will bless my church. You know, churches can be like that too. Round and round and round and round and round and round and round. Isn't it true? I'm talking about myself. Churches need to move into a directional movement, going forwards, not going round in circles. Going round and round means ever decreasing, ever decreasing, ever decreasing, and ever decreasing. Going forward in God means energy and growth and a way of blessing the world around us. And in our politics in Northern Ireland, it is not unknown to go round and round and round and round and round and round. Is that not true? I wonder how we as Christians can even begin to speak into that situation. We love having the word situation somewhere in Northern Ireland. How do we speak into the situation? I think that of myself. What do we say? What have we got to offer a community that finds itself bound by the chains of the past? A community that finds itself like Leon Uris says in his book Trinity, and my mother used to say something like this: Ireland has no future, just a past that keeps repeating itself over and over and over and over and over and over again. And of course, the truth is that enough people like that. Enough of us like our lives to be like that, or our churches to be like that, or our politics to be like that, or our community to be like that. And God is calling us into something radically different tonight. God is calling us to enter into his promises, to go in a direction, in his direction, and to be determined that that is going to be the way for our lives. So get out your hands and we'll do it again as a kind of commitment, right? I am the way, I am the way, I am the way, I am the way. Now move your hands like that and say with me, I am the truth. I am the truth, I am the truth, I am the truth. Yes. For those of you being confirmed, especially those of you who are younger, but those of us who are older too, I want to tell you, in case you haven't noticed, that we live in a world of fake news. Who said that once? We live in a world where nobody knows where the truth is any longer. You have your truth. I have my truth. They might be totally contradictory, but yours is your truth and mine is my truth. And people believe that the louder they shout or the more determined they are, the more likely it is to people that people believe it's true. I want those of you being confirmed, but all of us, to be committed to the fact that Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the only person who can be described as the truth. And the truth is revealed in the word of truth, which is the Bible, the scriptures. And I would love to think that every person in this place would commit themselves to reading the scriptures, not just the bits you like. Not just the bits you like, the lot of it. I know sometimes in this church there are things put out where people read the Bible in a year. In fact, I think my wife reads the Bible in a year most years, and she's much better than I am at it. And it's in the parts you least expect that you discover new insights into who God is, into what God wants for our lives, into what we are to believe about God, believe about Jesus, believe about the Holy Spirit, believe about eternity and all the other important aspects of faith. When we stand up to declare the creed later in this service, we stand up to speak truth. And we speak truth to ourselves. We speak truth to the world. We understand who God is, what his nature is, how much he loves us, and what his desire and will and purpose is for our lives, because we know the truth of God in the Bible. In that reading, in relation to Joshua, it says this: only be strong and very courageous. Listen to this. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. for then I will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That means that the Bible is not just a book to be read. The Bible is a guide for our lives. It means that we just don't want to know the generalities. We want to know the detail so that we can carefully and prayerfully mold our lives on the Word of God. And if we were truly to do that, we would be created into the kind of people, and our being created into the kind of people God wants us to be. It's to be in our mind. We're to meditate on it. It's to be on our lips. We're to speak about it. It's to be in the whole of our living. We're to live it out so that people who don't read the pages of this book can somehow or other read the pages of our lives. We'll do the two together. Right, just once each time. Oh, ready? I am the way. I am the way. Oh, that was Wick. That Wick, I was going to say. That's a Belfast expression. Right, are you ready? I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the truth. Now, this is the one that in some churches people find difficult, but not here in Willowfield, I reckon. I am the life. Oh, good. No, you're not. You're absolutely dead. Are you ready? One, two, three. I am the life. Louder. I am the life. Right. You see, when Jesus ascended into heaven on Ascension Thursday, what he said was that he was not going to leave us comfortless. That means without strength. But he was going to send the Holy Spirit. The Archbishop of Canterbury has declared this period of time to be a period of prayer over the last few years. The days between last Thursday, Ascension Day, and next Sunday, which is Pentecost. The clergy knew. Next Sunday, which is Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes down in power on the church. Yeah. You know, in the Roman Catholic Church, you might sometimes hear in Clonard that they have what they call a novena. And a novena just means 9 days. And it's the 9 days, it's based on the 9 days when the disciples went away to pray and wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit between Ascension Day and Pentecost. And the most incredible and amazing thing is this, that while it was wonderful that the incarnate Jesus Christ walked this earth, talked with people, showed us the example of his life, lived perfectly, obediently, died on the cross for our salvation, and rose again and ascended into heaven, it is yet more wonderful still that everything he has done for us is available here and now by his living, active presence and the power of his Holy Spirit. That's why at confirmations, we don't just get you to make promises. We don't just give you certificates. We don't just shake your hands. We lay hands on you to pray that the power of the Holy Spirit may come upon you. I've often said, and quite intentionally say it again, that when an unbeliever comes among God's people, I hope there's some unbelievers here tonight. When an unbeliever comes among God's people, they are going to determine by the time they leave this church whether we are two-dimensional cardboard cutout people when we're in worship. Sometimes churches are like that. And I always say a preacher knows it, because when you stand at the door, if everybody has been cardboard cutouts during the worship, when you stand at the door, you see them breathing a sigh of relief because they're going out into the ordinary world again and they're finished with that. But if a church is just three-dimensional, the same as the world outside, that would mean quite simply that nobody would need to bother ever to come into it, because everything they would get in it is what they would get in the world outside anyway. A church is called upon to express, to be a place of the risen, powerful, spirit-filled life of Jesus, so that an unbeliever, when they come in, bow down and worship the living God who is among you, as St. Paul said, and the secrets of their hearts are disclosed. They discover things about themselves that they never knew before. The church is called upon to be the place where heaven and earth meets, like in that painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in Rome that used to be on the old South Bank show, where the finger of God touches the finger of Adam. And the truth, the reality, the power, and the presence of God is revealed. When Moses was leading God's people, he prayed at one particular time, "Lord, don't send me up there if you're not going to go with me." It's a very good prayer. The only thing is, we know that in what our title is for this confirmation, that he will go with you, each one of you, each one of us who is in Christ. He will go with us, before us, stand by us, be present to us wherever we might go, wherever we might be, because he's the God of the universe, the God of the world, and the God who doesn't leave his people to do it on their own, but sends the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's do all three again. I'll do it once, then you repeat it each time. I am the way.
I am the
truth.
I am the life.
Without the way, there is no going. I nearly want to sing it. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. Amen.